Hey, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of John, and we're going to turn to the 12th chapter. 12th chapter, book of John, and starting with the first verse, and you'll see that the title of the sermon is An Extravagant Expression of Love. Had a wonderful opportunity today to be involved with an extravagant expression of love. It was right after church. There was a plan that was hatched by Stephen Bonham, who ministers to our preteen. And he brought in myself, along with Lisa Graves and Kristen Powell back there, as we are the team. And we were to go into the second grade Sunday school classroom, in which his girlfriend, Carrie, helps teach. And we walked in and told him we had a presentation to make. And so I walked in, and we had a plaque made up. And we called her up front and told her it was to recognize her achievement teaching in second grade and working with breakout groups and working with the Shining Stars, and presented her that plaque. And she was surprised, and should have been. No one else has ever received one of those before. And so we presented this plaque to her, and then we got our picture made, and all the kids were clapping. And they said, but hold, we got one more thing for you. So then we had a present wrapped for her, so we gave her the present. And as we gave her the present, she opened it up, and it was a Bible. And it was an English Standard Version Bible, which is the same translation that I'm preaching from. And I said, I don't think you have one. She says, no, I don't. I said, well, good. I said, well, open it up and make sure that's what it is. Oh, yeah, good. And on the front, we had a name in there. And we engraved the name, Carrie, and we put Bonham, which is Stephen Bonham's last name. And I said, I just want to make certain we spelled your first name correctly. She said, yeah. And then kind of under her breath, she said, and she pointed to the last thing. She said, but the last name. And so I looked over to Stephen, and he walks up, and he begins to talk about how they dated for 15 months and all this stuff, and the kids are going crazy over here. And then he gets on one knee and pulls out a ring and says, I want to ask you to marry me. And she's kind of crying, you know, and she puts she's shaking, he's shaking, she gets the ring on the finger, and then they embrace, and all the second grade boys are going, you know, and we're saying, turn your head, turn your head. And it was a wonderful, extravagant expression of love. And so right there, they were engaged, and she said yes. It was kind of muted, but she did say yes, didn't she? We got it on the camera. But she was completely blown away. And Stephen had hatched this plot since somewhere in November, coming up with all how he would do it. And so it was a neat time and exciting time. And Lisa and I talked, we'd never been a part of one of these before. But I think both Lisa and I did a good job. So if you want to hire us out, we'll be more than glad. We can help with any engagements or proposals that you may have. Now, if you've got your Bibles open to John chapter 12, we're going to look at two passages today. We're going to look at John 12. We're going to look at Matthew 26. But first of all, let's look at John 12, and I want to read through this story, John 12, verses 1 through 8, and let's just talk a little bit about it, and then we're going to move to the Matthew passage, and then we're going to break it down a little bit more. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment. Now, a pound is really about 12 ounces. It's close to 12 ounces of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, it says it's an expensive ointment. This means that she either purchased this with her life savings, or it could have been an heirloom that was handed down, and just something that she was holding on to for some special event. And then it says in verse 4, at the end of verse 3, it says, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? So what he says is, you could have sold this for 300 denarii. Now, one denarii is about a day's wage. And so if you took out the Sabbath to where you couldn't work, 300 denarii is really about a year's wages, okay? So take about a year's wages, and it says you could have made 300 denarii and given to the poor. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial.
So he says, apparently she has kept this for a special purpose. In anticipation of Jesus' death and burial, she used it to anoint his feet. And Jesus says, don't falter in her extravagance. And then he says, the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Now Jesus wasn't reducing the importance of helping the poor. He says, listen, helping the poor is important, and you have the poor with you every day, but you will not always have me. He knew that his time on earth was coming to a close, and so the time to extravagantly worship him is now. There was a window of opportunity to worship him, and she took advantage of that window of opportunity. And there are fleeting opportunities that come about where we need to respond to right at that particular moment. It doesn't mean that the pressing needs of the poor that are always there are not important, but there is an urgency, a brief window of opportunity to meet a need, to express a praise, to present a gift of worship. And Mary saw that window, saw that opportunity, and expressed it. And it was an extravagant expression of love. And so she took something that was worth 300 denarii, which was a year's salary, and took that and poured it on Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair and anointed him with that. Okay? And Judas was upset. You could take that 300, sold it, given the money to the poor. Now, turn to your left to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And in Matthew chapter 26, look at verses 14 and 15. Chapter 26, 14 and 15. It says, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now, if you do the math, 30 pieces of silver equals about 120 denarii. 120 denarii. Now, if you've got those figures in your mind, I want you to see that Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, or about 120 denarii. Now, some commentators say that both Mary and Judas knew that Jesus was about to die and that he would be buried. They felt that it was coming. But each one of them had a different reaction. I want to show you the difference in their reaction. First of all, Mary, what she did was she sacrificially gave 300 denarii. But what Judas did was he selfishly got 120 denarii. See, she was willing to give 300 denarii to give as a gift of worship and extravagant expression of love to Jesus. On the other hand, Judas was just out to receive, to get. And so from Jesus, what he did was he got 120 denarii. Mary, she gave to Jesus. Judas, he sold out Jesus. Now, look at those two options. We both have those same two options. We either can sell out Jesus or we can sacrificially give to him. Which will it be? Well, what does it mean if we are going to sell out Jesus in today's society? What would you say? Well, selling out Jesus, if I had to give you just a quick definition of what selling out Jesus is, what it is when we reject him. It's when we rebel against his lordship. Whenever you reject Jesus or you rebel against his lordship, that is the same as I'm selling him out. And anytime we sell Jesus out, it always cheapens him. It always cheapens him. Hey, just think about it. How do you sell him out? How do you sell him out? And how much did you sell him out for? Well, was it an unethical practice that you did where you kind of skirted the line of your ethics in order to close a sale? How much did you make on that? In essence, how much did you sell out Jesus for? How about on your tax return, since those are getting ready to come around pretty soon? Did you lie on last year's tax return? How much did you cheat on that, and how much did you get back? So bottom line is, how much did you sell Jesus out for? When you compromise those moral standards, how much did you sell Jesus out for? How about your attitude or your action at your child's or grandchild's sporting event? How much did you sell Jesus out for? How about the temptations that come your way and you end up giving in to them? The question is, how much did you sell him out for? Or how about the television program that you felt you had to watch, or the sporting event that you had to attend or watch, which kept you from spending time with God? How much did you sell him out for? You see, Lord, I can't spend time with you because, see, I got to go watch this on TV. So that's what it cost. That's what you're willing to sell me out for. How about the gossip? How about the slander? You see, all of these things that I just mentioned here, and that's just a small list, they're about as cheap as about 120 denarii. And what's amazing is we really come down hard on Judas. And yet, you know, almost every day, we're selling him out. For what can I get? Well, I can sell him out and get to watch a program. Or I can sell him out and chew out an official and embarrass my family and embarrass my Lord. Or I can sell him out and I can give in to this temptation or that temptation. That's what selling out is. But when you look at Mary, what you see with her is that she sacrificially gave to Jesus in an extravagant expression of love. A 300 denarii expression of love isn't necessarily logical and practical, but it's just straight from the heart. And I just love the term, a 300 denarii expression of love. It's not the logical thing. It's not the normal thing. It's an extravagant thing. What Stephen Bonham did in the Sunday school class, that's an extravagant expression of love. He's not going to do that every week, and hopefully not to a different girl. We would really be in some big trouble over there. But, you know, it's kind of those special things. Those. It's not necessarily logical. It's not necessarily practical, but it's just straight from the heart. It's an extravagant expression of love. And this is what Mary did. Now, Mary, with her extravagant expression of love, it has some attributes about it. Let me just share what they are. Just make a note of these. First of all, it's extravagant, it's reckless, and it's uncalculated. It's extravagant, it's reckless, and it's uncalculated. The perfume was there, and it was set aside for who knows what. Maybe Mary didn't even know. I mean, it's just something that she's had on the shelf, and she really didn't know what she was going to use it for. Maybe something impressed her years ago to buy it. Maybe she received it as an heirloom, but she's just kept it for a special occasion. And now all of a sudden, right before the Passover, Jesus comes. He's coming to their home, and they've got a big dinner for him. And for some reason, she goes over and takes this out, breaks open this jar, and anoints his feet. You see, maybe at one time she thought when she purchased it or received it that she used just a little bit at a time. But here, wow, she was in tune with Jesus that she just made an extravagant expression of praise and she just poured it all out over him. She broke open the jar and she did what she had not planned to do, but she just felt in her heart that this is what I should do. This is something that I should do. You see, if love is true, there's always a certain extravagance in it. It doesn't nicely calculate the cost. It's not concerned to see how little it can give, but there's a recklessness in love which refuses to count the cost. You just do it. And there's just that expression of love, and I don't really know why I did it. I had not planned to do it, but because of the love I have for you, I just wanted to express it at this time. And that's what she did for him. It's reckless. It's uncalculated. And it can come in different forms. I love the story that I heard a number of years ago about Bart Starr. And Bart Starr, as you know, was the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And in the 1967, which was the year of going to the Super Bowl, he had a son, Bart Jr., who was about 10 years old at that time. And to help Bart Jr. get motivated with his schoolwork, he said, "Whenever you bring home a perfect paper, I'll give you a dime. I'll give you a dime." You know, I ran a calculation on inflation, and that is worth 65 cents today. So I just wanted to let you know. But having two quarters, a dime, and a nickel is tough. So a dime. So he said, every time you get a perfect paper, I'll give you a dime. So a little boy brings home perfect paper. He gives him a dime. Well, in 1967, Bart Starr had a pretty good year, but there were some rough games. And he played who was then the St. Louis Cardinals, and they had a very rough game. He didn't play well. He didn't feel good about what he did, about his performance. He was pretty down. And when he flew in from St. Louis and came home that night, he came into his bedroom, and there sitting on his pillow was a note, and it says, "Dear Dad, I thought you played a great game today. Signed, Bart." And attached to it were two dimes. An extravagant expression of love. It's just, I hadn't planned to do this. It's just, I saw the opportunity, and I wanted to make the expression. And extravagant, it's reckless, It's uncalculated. Number two, it's costly. It's costly. It says that perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii. That's a year's wages. If you took an average today of someone with maybe just an average salary, it could be close to $40,000. Now, let's put that into our parlance. $40,000. Had this perfume worth $40,000. And she said, I'm going to use it up right here. How would you respond to that? It was pretty costly. But you see, whenever we give an extravagant expression of love to God, it costs. It costs in time. It may cost in money. And it'll be cost in just time commitment. You think about those three things. An extravagant expression of love. I'm going to give maybe of an inordinate amount of time or a very special amount of time. Or it's going to be an amount of money. Or what she did was a total commitment. When you see this story in Mark's account, it says that she broke open the bottle. And that word broke open means to break in pieces, kind of to shatter it, to crush it. So once she broke it open, then she had to use it all. In fact, Steve Green wrote that song, Broken and Spilled Out, taken from that same story. It's broken and spilled out. So it wasn't like once she started, she could stop. She was totally committed. It was a total commitment. She broke it open. She poured it out. There was no turning back. There wasn't to open a little bit to try to give a little bit away. It was a total commitment. An extravagant expression of love. It's reckless. It's uncalculated. It's costly. But number three, it's given in humility. Given in humility. In this passage of Scripture, where did she, what part of his body did she anoint? What did it say? His feet. His feet. And says it poured on her feet, and so that's about as humble as it can get, because then she has to get on her hands and knees down there. She unlooses her hair and begins to dry his feet over here. It was the lowest possible place. So she laid her costliest gift at his feet, and she had no ulterior motive. There was nothing in the story to where she said, hey, look at me, I got something special I'm getting ready to do. No, all accounts of the story is all of a sudden she just gets up, she brings us out. And she does this expression of love, this expression of worship. It was given in humility. And number four, it was not swayed by public opinion. Not swayed by public opinion. You can pretty well guarantee that people were shocked in there. If you take a look at the verse in verse four, it says, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, said, so it's right there in her presence. I mean, how embarrassing can that be? I mean, here this woman is, she's laid down her hair, and during that day, a woman was to keep her hair up, and so by bringing your hair down, you are open for public ridicule right there. And then she bends down and takes her hair, and she cleanses his feet, and she wipes the ointment off his feet, the perfume off his feet. And even as she does that, she's in the midst of this act of worship. Judas, sitting over here at the table or at the place where they're eating, says, the question here, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? I mean, he's dishing her right here in front of everyone around her. But you know, nothing like that was going to stop her. She knew that when she did this, the people were not going to accept this. And this is going beyond anything anyone can imagine. But Judas publicly embarrasses her, he rebukes her, and he's rebuking her for how she spent her own money and how she expressed her love to Jesus. He said, it'd be so much better to give this to the poor rather than just pouring it down the drain. That's in essence what you're doing. And see, the fact that people misunderstand us or criticize us should not keep us from showing our love for Christ. Our concern should be for his approval alone. Now, you got to know that while she walked over there and got this perfume, that somewhere in her mind, as she's thinking about the expression of love she's getting ready to do, she knows that there are people that are not going to approve this. In fact, she knows enough from the neighbors who came to be a part of there, the ones who were not going to approve it. Because there are already two ladies that complained about the pita bread, probably, and said it wasn't just right, and on and on and on. And you know some people are upset. And now she knows that whatever she does, someone's going to embarrass her or ridicule her. And so she could have held back and said, gosh, I don't know. I don't want to get those people upset at me. But she didn't let public opinion sway her. She went ahead, and she did the expression. And she did that expression of love. And you see, whenever we give an extravagant expression of love, and it's going to our Lord, we don't need to let public opinion keep us from doing that. How many times have we been too concerned what others would think if we want to express ourselves in worship? What if in a worship center, God just gets a, in a worship service, and God just gets a hold of our heart? And then in the midst of singing or whatever, you just stand up and just say, Lord, I'm just here. And you're just there, and you got hands raised as you're singing. Or tears are coming down your face. Or when it's time to pray, that you come down front and you just fall prostrate on the front. Are you willing to do that, or are you scared to do that? To just say, God, I'm just here. I'm for you. And see, what's so sad is that most of us are saying, gosh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But why should we not? I mean, if God's Holy Spirit is connecting with my spirit and is convicting me of something, and either I have felt his love in a way I've never felt it, or I've felt his forgiveness, or maybe just the seriousness of the sin that's in my life, which has come face to face with the incredible holiness of God. And when that happened, I was just so taken that I just had to express it. And it wasn't in a way that disrupted a service. It was just in the midst of worship. So you should be able to do that and not worry about public opinion on there. See, that's what she did. In the midst of that crowd, she just came right down there and she says, I have such a love for him, I'm going to do this. And you see, her timing was perfect. What if she said, you know what? Maybe next week I'll invite Jesus over and we'll have him for dinner next week. And then I could maybe do it then. That's not going to happen because he's going to the cross on Friday. That opportunity won't come again. This was it. This is the one opportunity. And she was so sensitive. Her spirit was sensitive to God's spirit that she responded and gave an extravagant expression of love. Let me tell you the last one. And I love this. The scent of sacrifice lingers and impacts others. The scent of sacrifice lingers and impacts others. If you look at verse 3, it says that she anointed the feet of Jesus. She's wiped his feet with her hair. And then it says, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You ever been in a place where someone wore some strong perfume? Yeah. Yeah, you have. And sometimes it's not been good, has it? You know, if you've ever been in a room, someone's got, woo, big aftershave, or, you know, like Michael, he wears that high karate, and some of those things, English leather, brute, all the old stuff, brute, yes. But, you know, you put some of that stuff on, or some lady has something that's just, whoa, this is pretty strong, and they come into a room, it just kind of stays in the room, doesn't it? And it doesn't matter what conversation you're in or what you're doing, You still smell the smell, right? Well, in a good sense, the fragrance of this perfume and what she did, it stayed in the room for the rest of the meal and for the rest of the fellowship time. Because no matter what else you talked about, whenever you tried to change the subject and say, hey, how's things going today? Your camel doing okay? Everything all right? How's that tent? I like it. Doing good. And you're getting all those kind of discussions. You still, while you're talking, in the back of your mind are saying, gosh, that smell's still here. And then your mind says, man, I just can't believe what I saw. I can't believe what I saw her do. And some of the guys there, the accountants there, they're calculating it in their mind saying, good night, that's a lot of money on there. That's what I would have been doing. I'm just saying, my goodness, I can't believe she did that. And then I'd have to ask the next question, and that is, well, I wonder why she did that. And then really my next question is, say, well, why wouldn't I do that? That's when it gets bad. And then I would start coming up with all the excuses and the why I couldn't and why I shouldn't. And then all of a sudden there's a conviction that lingers with me because the scent of that sacrifice lingered and would impact me. You tell the irony of this story is that Jesus himself was about to offer the most extravagant, lavish, impractical statement of love in the history of the world. And in complete abandonment, just like that jar, he was going to be broken and spilled out for us. And so what she did on that day is that she completely released herself, broken and spilled out. expression of worship, expression of love to him. And just a few days later, Jesus was getting ready to do the same thing on the cross and to do that for us. And so here's the challenge for every one of us. As we go through our life, there's a need and a desire for us to live a life of obedience and to be serving him and following him. And just because we love him and we want to obey him, we want to love him. But there are going to come times in our lives to where there is an opportunity for an extravagant expression of love. I can't tell you exactly what it is. I can't tell you exactly when it is. But I think because God had you here for this particular service, if this could just be implanted in your mind and in your heart, there will be a time when God's going to be asking and would be desiring you to make some type of sacrificial, extravagant expression of love. And when you do that, it'll be a sacrifice that the scent will linger and it will touch the lives of others. And it won't be because you want everybody to be looking at you. You want people to be looking at Christ. And when you do that, then all of a sudden these other lives are going to be impacted by that. And they're going to walk away and begin to ask the questions and begin to question their own life and begin to question their own walk. And then before you know it, they may be going deeper in their walk. And it's just on and on and on as can happen. So let's just be ready. And when God gives us that opportunity, let's be broken and spilled out. Okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads. Close your eyes for just a moment. Father, we are so thankful tonight that we can see in your word sacrifices that people are willing to make. And it really is an amazing story. And it's one of those things, Father, that when we get to heaven, it'd probably be fun to kind of recount that and to see what the thoughts were of people that were there. And just an amazing expression of love. But Lord, we realize that anything that we do, any type of extravagant expression of love, no matter what the cost, what the sacrifice, pales in comparison to what your Son did on the cross for us. And because of what he did for us on the cross, may we be willing, may we count it a privilege to be able to give an extravagant expression of love back to him. And so tonight, Lord, we pray at this time of invitation, as we sing and we listen to the words of the song, that it speaks to our heart, that there are decisions that we need to make. That, Lord, tonight, let us make those decisions. And Father, it may be where some would come forward. It may be just standing right there in the chair and singing and letting those words just filter into the soul, that you speak to them and some commitments are made. And we rejoice with that. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.